Welcome to the deep dive. You're here, like us, wanting to get smart fast.
That's the idea.
And today, we're tackling some early philosophical thinking from Vollenhoven.
Yeah, his initial stab at understanding, well, the basic structure of reality itself.
You shared some really interesting sources. And the mission today is basically to unpack his first ideas about reality's building blocks. He called them determinations, right?
That's the term, yeah. Determinations. Think of it as trying to figure out the fundamental ways created reality is put together.
Like the absolute basics.
Exactly. We're looking at his initial framework, these early concepts of determination.
Okay, let's dive in. The first one you mentioned was the thus-so determination. What's that about?
So the thus-so, it's fundamentally about the built-in order, the laws and norms that dictate how anything actually functions.
Like a hierarchy.
Kind of, yeah. Imagine a vertical order, like a ladder. Higher functions depend on the lower ones being in place first.
And the things that do the functioning. He had a term for those.
He did unities of subjection or subject units. Mm. A bit dense, maybe?
Yeah, maybe a little.
So let's just call them individuals for now. Makes it a bit clearer, I think.
Okay, individuals. So for Vollenhoven, an individual isn't just like a shopping list of its features.
Right. He pushed back against that. Unlike, say, Hobbes, where it's just a collection of characteristics.
Or Leibniz, with a single unique thing defining it.
Exactly. Vollenhoven thought the identity was deeper. Initially, he used the term essence for this core structure. He saw it as something, well, real outside our minds, an ideational grasp of an ontic given, he'd say.
Wow. Okay. A bit abstract.
It is. And he did shift away from using idea or essence quite like that later. But the key point is the sense of a deep inherent structure given by God.
So when I just, you know, see a tree, I perceive it as a whole thing. How did he account for that unity we experience?
He'd say that unity is real, designed by God, structured through and through is a phrase he might use. This structure is premodal or prefunctional.
Prefunctional.
Meaning it underlies all the specific ways it can function. He thought this was especially clear in the human heart or soul, the deep center of a person.
But then science comes along and analyzes things, breaks them down.
Right. And Vollenhoven saw that as looking at an individual's functions, how it operates across different modes or aspects, like arithmetically, spatially, physically, biologically, and so on.
So functions are about how it acts over time.
Yeah, the how. And that's different from just its properties, which are more like the characteristics it accumulates.
Got it. And these functions, they relate to each other in that ladder-like way you mentioned.
Exactly. He used terms like retrospations, echoes of lower functions and higher ones, and anticipations, hints of higher functions enabled by lower ones.
Okay, like levels.
Sort of. Think of substrates as the founding modalities, the lower rungs, and superstrates as the ones that depend on them.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Like number, the arithmetic aspect, is a substrate for the spatial aspect. You need number, quantity, before you can really define or measure space.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. So that's the internal ordered structure and potential.
That's the core of it, yeah. The vertical dimension of laws and norms.
So what about the second one, the this-that determination? How's that different?
Well, this-that shifts the focus. It moves from the internal rules, the thus-so, to the actual connections between individuals in the real world, specific relationships.
So less about the internal rule book, more about who's actually interacting with whom.
Precisely. The thus-so gives the laws the possibilities that this-that is about the factuality, the concrete relationships that happen.
And how do these relationships form, in his view?
He saw them as constructed by God, emerging from the combined functions of the individuals involved. Think of these as horizontal connections, linking individuals together.
Horizontal, okay. And are there different kinds of relationships?
Yeah, he distinguished between subject relations, where the things relating are sort of on the same level in that context, maybe like two animals interacting, and subject-object relations. That's where one individual acts upon another that functions at a lower relevant level in that interaction, like a person studying a plant.
Okay, so the plant is the object there. Does this relate to different kinds of beings, like plants, animals, humans?
It does. He talked about realms, often identified by their highest or leading functions. So you have, you know, the physical realm, the plant realm, animal, human.
And that determines whether something is a subject or object in a specific interaction.
Generally, yes. A subject usually belongs to the same realm or a higher one than the object in that specific relation. He did refine this later, though.
Oh, how so?
Well, he later suggested that it's really only from the physical energetic modality upwards that you get distinct kingdoms that clearly allow for object functions in the higher modalities. It gets a bit technical.
Okay, maybe we park that refinement for now. You also mentioned relational direction.
Yes. That's just about the movement or interaction. It can be inter-individual between separate things, like, say, cars moving between Amsterdam and Harlem.
Okay, between two points.
Or it can be intra-individual, the dynamic processes happening within a single individual. He used a lowercase d for this direction to keep it distinct from religious capital D direction, by the way.
Good distinction. Okay, so we have the internal rules, thus, so, and the external connections, this, that. Was there another determination mentioned?
There's implicitly a third structural one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The genetic determination.
Genetic.
Yeah.
Like biology.
Not exactly. More about the flow of time, how things develop and unfold. It's crucial, but maybe too much to unpack fully right now.
Right. Understood. So just to recap the main two for today, thus so is like the blueprint, the internal laws governing how an individual can function across different aspects.
The vertical order, the rules.
And this, that is about the actual horizontal connections and relationships between those individuals out there in the world.
Exactly. The law-governed nature versus the actualized relationships playing out.
And time, the genetic part, is the backdrop against which all this happens.
That's a good way to put it. It adds that dynamic element.
This framework definitely gives you a different lens to view things through. It's quite structured.
It is. It tries to account for both the order and the actual lived reality.
So a final thought for you, the listener, to sort of chew on.
Maybe think about this. How does considering things as having both this internal law structure of nature and being defined by their actual dynamic relationships change how you see, well, anything, your own identity? Social structures, the environment.
Yeah, how does separating the rules from the interactions help you understand complexity?
Exactly. It's a starting point Vollenhoven offered, and there's definitely more to explore in how these initial ideas develop.